Hobo Rooster Valley Avenue. This is Spielpod.com coming to you from our studio high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 12th of July, 2012. On this date in 1389, Geoffrey Chaucer is named the chief clerk by Richard II. In 1561, St. Basil's Cathedral in Moscow is consecrated. In 1804, former United States Secretary of the Treasury Alexander Hamilton dies a day after being shot in a duel. In 1912, the United States invades Canada at Windsor, Ontario. A great, great day. In 1817, Henry David Thoreau, American writer and philosopher, is born. In 1843, Joseph Smith, Jr., founder of the Mormons, received a revelation about polygamy, thereby informing Mitt Romney's grandfather, who had, 12 wives. In 1895, Buckminster Fuller, the all-around cool person, is born. In 1943, Battle of Prokhorovka, the German and Soviet forces engage in the largest tank battle of all time. 1962, the Rolling Stones performed their first ever concert at the Marquee Club in London on Oxford Street, just on the north side of Soho. In 1984, Geraldine Ferraro is named vice presidential candidate by Walter Mondale, the first time that had ever been done in the United States, a woman being named vice presidential candidate. In 1990, Boris Yeltsin resigns from the Communist Party. In 2007, U.S. Army Apache helicopters perform an airstrike in Baghdad, Iraq. The footage from the cockpit is later leaked by WikiLeaks, making them famous. Today it's me, Cameron and Matthias. Nothing we say can or will be held against us by past, present, or future employers because, well, just because of this disclaimer. Reshuffle in the ministries of internal affairs and defense continues. The new interior minister, Bacho Akhalaya, has three new deputies along with three others who served as deputies to Vano Medoshvili. The number of deputies has been increased from the previous five to six. Eka Zhuladze, formerly of Millennium Challenge Corporation, where she worked under Lasha... What was his name? Currently Shanidze, exactly. Currently seeking asylum in the United States. Don't know whether he got it. And a bunch of other stuff. Shalva Janashvili, who's been there for quite a while. Georgi Lord Kipanidze remain at their at the post of Deputy Interior Minister. Zhuladze remains first Deputy Interior Minister. The only deputy to have been replaced is Amiran Mescheli, who's he went to the Chancellery with Vano. They're very close friends. He's from Akhaltsikhe. Shota Kizanashvili, who during Medoshvili's tenure at the Interior Ministry served as Chief of the Administration, was promoted to Deputy Interior Minister. Two other deputies are Nodar Karshiladze and Nika Dzimetsishvili. Both of them were Akhalaya's deputies when he was in the Defense Ministry. Karshiladze has been in the Defense Ministry for a very, very long time. Very smart, smart guy. mentioned as the smartest guy around in some WikiLeaks memo. And I think he went to a Turkish Defense Academy or something like that.
Yeah, or Police Academy.
Something like that, yeah. As Deputy Minister, Dzimtsishvili will also be the new head of the Border Police, replacing Zaza Gogaba. Dzimtsishvili has already once served in the Interior Ministry between 2006 and 2007 when he was Deputy Head of the Ministry's Administration. He then served as Head of the Internal Investigations at the Ministry of Justice for 2 years before joining the Ministry of Defense in 2009. The Head of Security Police, Ivane Tsiklauri, was appointed Governor of Samska Javakheti Region. Shida Kartli also has a new governor, former Deputy Head of the President's Administration, Sulkhan Sivashvili.
And I think there were also a few regional police heads were exchanged in recent days.
Interesting. What, I mean, any connection or who's guys or any of that stuff?
No, well, I guess new guys that are, you know, known by the new guys in the ministry, I think. So,
You know, the one question that I always have when you look at the reshuffles that happen in the cabinet, which are frequent, and then the movement of staff to follow the people who had been their previous bosses, I always wonder, do they not have to have competence within the specific sphere in which they're going to be serving, or is it just that they're going to be following orders?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's an important question. I think, you know, within, for example, the United States, after the Pendleton Act, they, you know, there are political appointments. So the, you know, secretaries and the deputy secretaries and all of those are... those are political appointments. They may or may not have technical experience within the field, but...
And many approved by Congress, right?
And they have to be approved by the Senate. And sometimes that's a complication. Usually it's not. But, you know, they usually do have professional qualifications, but that's part of the confirmation process. I mean, in this case, looking at this, you know, the people do have some professional experience, most of the people that have been moved around somewhat. I mean, obviously, that was a little more complicated in 2004 or 5 when everybody was just out of Kamada and university, you know.
But I wonder, though, like going from penitentiary to education to defense, I mean, those are, you know, vastly different areas of competence.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just wonder how you can have that all and then take the people with you and then,
I agree with you. I mean, I think interesting, like, for example, as we'll mention, there's someone who Shashkin brought from prisons to education, who ended up being the head of Teach and Learn, and then went to defense, who actually worked in Iraq for a while and has some defense experience. But Shashkin himself didn't, either in education or in defense or in prisons or, you know, anything else. He was a lawyer, you know, trained as a lawyer, but that's about it. And as regular listeners will know, I'd argue didn't do a heck of a lot for education in the country during his tenure, other than implement the Mondatours or Resource Officer Project to keep an eye on things. But other than that, I don't know. But the defense ministry, I think, you know, the sense I have is that the defense ministry is not...
The power ministry.
It's not really taken that seriously. Interior is much more important. And frankly, education is much more important politically. It's just taken more seriously. Whereas defense is just kind of, you know.
But some people feel uneasy about the fact that the two ministries that have people in arms under them are basically run by two people from the same family, or partly run. I mean, the Akhalayas are now in both one minister and one deputy minister. So...
Yeah, not to mention that their dad runs San Miguelo.
Yes,
know.
And I mean their reputation is, disputed.
Spotted.
Or controversial.
Spotted.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's a complicated situation. Indeed. I don't, you know, not sure where that's going to go. Ministry of Defense, Akaki Separtiladze, or Mr. Comfort, as he's known, was appointed first deputy minister. Prior to that, he held a similar post at the Ministry of Corrections and Legal Assistance, as well as the Ministry of Education and Science, so he's been, you know, schlepping around at Dima. Data Akhalaya, brother of Bacho, was appointed Deputy Defense Minister, as just alluded to. Prior to this, he headed the Constitutional Security Department, or CUDI, as it is known, at Interior, which everybody is terrified of.
And he was associated with the murder of...
That's right. He was a...
2006, of Ghirbliani.
He was a part of the whole Ghirbliani mess some time back.
And Vano was asked about this week, so I think we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Dima Shashkin, new Minister of Defense from Education, also brought Maya Siprashvili Lee, as I just mentioned, as Deputy Defense Minister. In 2009, she worked as advisor to the Minister of Corrections and Legal Assistance. In 2010, she headed the Internal Relations and Programs Department of the Ministry of Education and Science, and was simultaneously in charge of Teach and Learn with Georgia, which was another, that and Mondatours were sort of the two big things that Shashkin implemented.
Whereby Teach and Learn has, I think, nobody really questions that it had some impact, some positive impact.
Well,
on the hostel industry, definitely.
Certainly on the hostel industry. Yeah, no, it's a, we don't mean the hostility industry, we mean youth hostel industry in Tbilisi. Teach and Learn, I mean, it was really quite disorganized at the beginning, but, a great program. I mean, I'm definitely a fan. It's done good things for Georgia.
Lots of young foreigners showed up. Some of them stayed.
I would really love to do an evaluation of that program, actually. I wonder what the goal actually is. I mean, they have a whole bunch of young people coming over with very little training and experience in teaching English who are kind of thrown into villages. And I feel like the actual goal is much more about modernization, westernization, and expansion of people's worldview than formalized education in English.
Well, I think, I mean, they're not officially teachers. They're put in the school and they, you know, I don't know what they tell them to do, but I mean, in reality, I think that they're people around whom the 6 or 10 or 20 actual, you know, English speakers, the kids that have actually one way or another, probably through television, learned some English, you know, can hang around with a native speaker. And they're just a way for, you know, somebody, for people, especially in villages, to see a real live foreigner, which they've never seen before. And that's a good thing. And remember, it's teach and learn in Georgia. And I think that the kids get a lot out of this. I mean, they've just rotated out several hundred, you know, advocates for Georgia, that the overwhelming majority of whom had a great time and think it's a great place, and, you know, head back to Arkansas and Lithuania and Australia and, you know, talk about how great Georgia is. And so I think, I think it's a great, great thing.
We really have no idea actually what they're going to say. We don't know how many people think positively now.
My office is right above Crossroads. Like, I talk to a lot of teach and learners, you know.
Yeah, I've talked to them too. I mean, I feel like, you know, people that are kind of well grounded, you know, have a good understanding of the good and the bad, but
call me crazy, I'm guessing there's not going to be a public independent assessment of this project that we will ever see. But, you know, hey, crazier things have happened.
Yeah. But I think it is a fairly cheap project as well. It's not that, I mean, the people, you know, they get a ticket here, a ticket back, and I don't know how much they get per month, $300
or
something.
And a lot of the Peace Corps, I think, has been a little bit annoyed by it because, you know, the Peace Corps, there's the training is so much more serious. They're here for a longer time. They're much more likely to learn Georgian. And I think, you know, per capita have probably a much greater influence, but it's just, you know, there's just so many more of the teacher learners, you know, and there's not that many, you know, Peace Corps. Dr. Nardaya was appointed to the post of Deputy Defense Minister. Until recently, he was the rector at the Davadagma Shinabeli National Defense Academy. The Tbilisi City Court imposed a fine of 1.17 million lari on 17 people for party donations. Only one of them donated to the national movement, the rest to opposition parties. Tbilisi City Court fined Elita Burgi, a company affiliated with Ivanishvili, 11 million lari for providing the campaign with free cars. After the failure to sell Ivanishvili shares in Kartu Bank and Progress Bank, the state will now take over the bank's management. Surprise, surprise. National Bureau of Enforcement put the shares of the bank on auction earlier this month after Ivanishvili refused to pay a 74 million lari fine imposed on him for violating party funding rules. Representatives of foreign investors in Kartu Group have begun legal proceedings, bringing a suit to the court demanding that it cancel the auction, auctioning off of the company's shares. That's interesting. That'd be an interesting thing to follow. Do you know who the foreigners are that own part of Kartu?
No, but there's, I mean, you have the foreigner involved. There's American Citizen in Global TV, for example. So it could be that he is also now in Kartu Bank, but I don't know. I mean, the banks have to disclose beneficiary owners to the national bank. So their Excel spreadsheets.
Public?
Yeah. There's every quarter, all the banks publish all their financial data and the ownership. And, you know, all the ones about Kartu banks, say beneficiary owner 100% Bidzina Ivanishvili.
Right.
I don't know. We will see who the next beneficiary owner is, or the disputed owner. But, of course, the problem is, you know, this is such a high-level political case. Who's going to bid for assets that are, you know, so disputed, like just like Kartu Bank? Nobody's going to pay a you know, significant price for an asset like that, where you have, you know, 50% chance that it will be taken away from you again.
Which worked out perfectly for the government, so that they can now just extract the 74 million lari from.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so somebody will be told, here's what you will bid for this, and they will bid for it, and, you know,
And it's, I mean, it's quite interesting, because there's a lot of assets come with Kartu Bank, right? You control the bank, you control all the securities that the people who have loans from Kartu Bank gave to the bank. For example, if you look at the Hippodrome, which is, you know, one of the few nice green spots that's largely owned by, although they're building a new road, but the largest part of the Hippodrome is owned by a Georgian entity that is owned by, I think, a Panamese entity.
Panamanian.
But the Georgian entity that owns the Hippodrome took out a bunch of loans from Kartu Bank and gave the land as security for these loans to the bank. So, for example, basically, my understanding is, I'm not an expert in that, but my understanding is that, for example, the Hippodrome is owned by Kartu Bank as security, for example.
Well, gosh, why would some Panamanians want to buy the Hippodrome? Just kidding. Well, interesting. Okay, so we'll see. Well, somebody's going to be valuing those assets, and you know that's what the
Wondering that you know the official value of the Kartu Bank. I think it's like, what was it, $100 million or something like that. It was not that much, and I was also surprised to see that the official value that was put on Kartu Bank was slightly more than the fine, I think, that Ivanishvili is required to pay. And still, they also put that, the assets in Progress, or what is the other bank?
Right.
In Progress Bank up for auction. Although even just, you know, taking over Kartu Bank would have covered all the fines that he has to pay.
Well, he doesn't have 100% of Progress Bank also.
No, he's like 25-ish.
I thought it was like 17% or something. But the amount of money is also a lot less. So it's like $75 million, I think, for
Who
Kartu.
Who else owns Progress?
The football player, the former captain of the national team.
After seizing satellite dishes of Global TV, the chief prosecutor is concerned with the antennas of Maestro TV. As Media.ge reports, Maestro imported the antennas and was going to distribute them for a reduced price, but prosecutors say it's vote buying.
It's the same company.
Yeah.
Also, it's the Birgi, whatever.
That's what the prosecutor or the judge said, and the prosecutor's office. But there's no evidence so far in the public that would really show that there's a connection between this Ivanishvili-affiliated company, Elite Burji, and Maestro. Because Maestro has said that its owner, or its part owner, Maka Setiani, who is a fashion designer.
Famous in Russia, yeah.
Right. But she's married to a very wealthy businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Maestro said that she would basically, with her money, pay for the satellite dishes to be imported and then distributed for whatever fee. So it will be that the government will have to prove that there is a clear connection between Maestro and Ivanishvili. And even then, taking the satellite dishes is on shaky legal grounds.
Right. So, new Prime Minister Vanametashvili gave an interview to Nino Djigelashvili on Maestro TV. He tried to avoid criticizing Bidzina. He said, and I quote, "I can say one thing about Batoni Bidzina. I don't know him as a politician. I know him very well as a person who's been carrying out charitable activities for years. Moreover, I was meeting him very often, and I was assisting him in his charitable activities. I was helping him in implementing his charitable work more effectively. But politically, I can assess only those people who are around him, because I have known these people very well for years already. I will not name them." When asked again if he thought that Bidzina was a Russian stooge, he said, "I already said all I wanted to say." NDI published the results of a new survey. According to it, when people were asked if they would approve of Misha becoming prime minister after his second and final term expires, 36% said no, and 33% said yes. 27% said they did not know or were terrified to answer the question. Just kidding. And 3% refused to answer. 71% disapproved of stripping Bidzina of his citizenship. Support for joining NATO declined in the last 4 months from 70 to 62%. 87% of respondents disapprove of Georgia's current state of relations with Russia. However, almost half of respondents believe that Russia is, quote, a real and existing threat to Georgia.
There was also a decline in the number of people who consider Georgia to be moving in the right direction, I think, or on a democratic path.
Yeah. There was also a very unfortunate number that I saw, which people were asked if they heard about the idea of the Christian Democrats to include homophobia in the Constitution. And not that many people had heard of it. But then they asked, you know, like, would you agree with, you know, protecting Georgian values, under quotation mark? And I think 89% said, yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, it's really,
and,
I think...
Wait, and 11% are gay.
Wait, no, let me tell you. It was really specific. It was about gay marriage, actually.
Okay.
And I thought that was just so...
Oh, really?
It was about, yeah, whether or not... like
how American? Why would they ask about that?
Which was just so bizarre to me, because I thought that is such an unimportant issue. I mean, it's not even something that's in discussion here, and that I mean, I don't know. This is something that the Christian Democrats are discussing. It's just amazing to me, you know, of all the things that, you know, Georgia needs to have addressed, to be discussing, you know, whether or not there should be gay marriage is ridiculous.
Yeah. About the Vano interview, another question that he got was about the murder case 2006.
Of Giuliani.
And, you know, basically he said, you know, while I was Minister of Interior, you know, like, things happened and I'm... you know, ready to talk about it, that, you know, I'm ready to answer questions about it. But the main thing is that we got rid of corruption and that the police is now efficient and has high trust. And, you know, that was the goal. And, you know, on the way, maybe things happened that were not great, but.
Got to break some eggs by to make an omelet.
I didn't see the interview, but I read it. And actually, I was really, I think what I read was verbatim, but I was really, verbatim translation, but I was really impressed, actually, with his answers because he was really smooth.
Yeah, very professional.
Yeah, he really managed to avoid a lot of those things. But the other thing that he said about Ghirgliani, as well as there were some other incidents, he referred to the other incidents that happened that everybody knows about as well, with people getting shot right here on Rustaveli and some other incidents, like November 7th, for example. And he said that he takes full responsibility for them, which I also thought was quite interesting. So it was, I mean, it reminded me of like Clear and Present Danger, you know, it's like, don't deny that you know the guy, say that you were really, really good friends. So right. Just throw everybody off because, right. You know, they're not expecting you to kind of take responsibility and own up to it. And that's what he did. And also the way that he handled the Ivanishvili questions, I thought was also very, very smooth.
Yeah, he's positioning himself in a way where it makes it very difficult to attack him for something.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, he's bright, and I mean a lot of people do not give him as much credit as he should I think. Misha stated at a conference in Batumi that Europe was Georgia's identity, and expressed hope that the Eastern Partnership and summit in Vilnius next year in the EU that the EU would give some kind of path towards membership. And that hell would freeze over. Oh, sorry. I don't know. Who knows what that path would be, but I don't think that's going to happen.
That was another question, actually, in the NDI survey that was conducted by the Caucasus Research Resource Center. And it asked about
CRRC?
NATO membership and EU membership.
Disclosure, Cameron is the head of it.
No, I'm not. But I am affiliated with it in my professional duties. But... yeah, it was very interesting because they were looking at when people thought Georgia would join NATO. And there was a large portion that said never, but also a good portion that said 2014, which I just think is quite interesting.
Yeah, never know. The European Commissioner for Enlargement and European Neighborhood Policy, Stefan Füle, visited Georgia. He said October's elections must be free and fair, and we must avoid a polarized policy. The OSCE Secretary General Lamberto Zanier is visiting Georgia. During the press conference, he said that the dialogue between the government and the opposition is necessary in order to ensure a level playing field. John McCain is concerned more with blasting the playing field to, you know, here and gone. He's more concerned with possible aggravation of Georgian-Russian relations because of Russian military exercise scheduled at the border in autumn. McCain told Rustaveli, I believe, and I quote, I believe in the Georgian people's choice and in elections being free and fair. But I'm more concerned with the danger of threats coming from Russia. So I try to do everything to make sure that Georgia has defense weapons. Democracy and Freedom Watch reports that Georgia has a chance to supply military goods to the U.S. military. Prime Minister Vano Medvedevsky announced in the news on Tuesday during the opening of a conference on Georgian-American cooperation in Batumi, where Pentagon officials were also present.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is if you read the last line of the article, if you go all the way through, which is very short, it says it's probably not for any defense materiel, it's just food.
Food.
Food items.
Like tomatoes, because our tomatoes are better. You never know. Ambassador John Bass, U.S. Ambassador, has finished his duties in Georgia. There was a funny letter circulating around on Facebook on what advice Bass would give to the next U.S. Ambassador in Georgia. Here are some of the tips. Quote, learn Georgian, otherwise Rustaveli will translate your quotes in a way that will make you sound like the Secretary of the National Movement. Beware of Akaki Bobakhidze.
What's that?
Before, remember that thing with Bobakhidze? I can't remember. He made some goofy, he's made so many goofy comments, I can't remember which one this was. Said, before calling something unconstitutional, make sure you read the Constitution at least 10 minutes before the statement so that they change it so frequently you might, you know, miss the Constitution that you're saying is unconstitutional. Lithuanian member of European Parliament expressed concern about the situation in Georgia in the Caucasus. Vitaus Landsbergis has identified three factors related to the forthcoming elections, which he said could destabilize the country, perhaps even starting a new bloody intervention from abroad. He said that Russia was trying to bring corrupt politicians into the Georgian government to change the direction of Georgia's European policy back to being pro-Russian. He added that the oligarchs were lobbying for their interests as if the government restricts their freedom, which is not true. They are just trying to control the inflow of money.
There was a very heated debate in the European Parliament last week, and it appears that, you know, there's a lot of lobbyists walking around there pitching both narratives that, you know, the government is great, everything's in order and on the right path, and the government is evil. We need to change this regime narratives. And it was interesting that some of the MPs said, you know, we're hearing from the same country, but we're hearing basically about two completely different worlds. And that's per se a problem because we can't really figure out what's going on. There was also an open letter in Le Monde, I think, by the Belgium, by a former Belgium prime minister and the head of the European People's Parties, which are the conservative Christian Democrats in Europe that the United National Movement is a member of. And he was also very critical of Ivanishvili and said, you know, politics is not for sale, and Ivanishvili is distributing fridges and TV sets, which I, had not really heard of that much.
But I mean, I have very mixed feelings about this. I mean, I think Landsbergis is a great guy, and I trust him, and I think that his, you know, concerns are reasonable. And you know, but this lobbyist war, I mean, first of all, I think a lot of it has to do with, as we have just noted in the podcast, the government is making it pretty difficult for Bidzina to spend any money here, you know, so, okay, he spends it abroad.
There's also a new website, for example, I think Georgian Democracy or democracyingeorgia.org, which is copyright Citizens for Democracy in Georgia 2012. You know, it's like really grassroots. And so it's a new, you know, I think Ivanishvili affiliated lobbying effort, just replacing what used to be the Georgia Media Center that was also firing, you know, random articles in English against Misha that was then run, I think, by Pater Katsishvili's family and their lobbyists. But, I mean, we really see a lot of international lobbying in the U.S. and Brussels.
On the one hand, it's good for there to be a lot of opinions out there, and I think that, you know, there has been, I mean, the government pays for a lot of lobbying, and the government, the lobbying that it pays for is not just that, you know, Georgia's a great country and come invest here and support us. I mean, it's about, you know, how great, you know, we are, this ruling group is. And I think some criticism of that is reasonable. I mean, on the other hand, I don't, maybe I've just been here too long, but I, you know, I have this sort of, do we really need to air this whole domestic dispute to the entire, you know, city of Washington and Brussels, you know? And it just seems a little bit, you know, I don't know. I don't know whether Georgia's interests are particularly well served by that.
No,
but,
I think, I mean, it's certainly not perceived well in Brussels.
But certainly the, I mean, certainly the lobbying started by the current ruling party.
Did you guys see the video that was on Maestro, by the way? It was there was a link somewhere in an article that I saw to this video that had been captured or somehow acquired by Maestro that was a pre-interview thing.
With
the live mic. With Mirabishvili and Saakashvili. And the language that Saakashvili was using was like really kind of like Zuli Bichebi kind of talk.
Yeah.
And
shocking.
It was yeah, I think just very, very funny to
yeah.
see.
Yeah, and he said, like, you know, we really showed them.
Yeah, they really gave it to them.
Yeah,
kind
really,
of thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Bidzina, in an extensive interview with Liberale, in which he said coming to politics was the biggest risk he'd ever made. He also said that he's worried about making exact calculations regarding the budget because he has no idea what it would look like if he came to power.
But it's online. I don't know why it's very difficult to, you know, like, why he's talking that but he doesn't know what the budget will look like because the current budget is there, and we hope
I don't know what's going on. Like, there, you know, there's a lot of MPs to select. You know, a lot of policy decisions to make. I mean, I don't know. He needs to speed things up a little bit. He's going to meet with Salome Zurabishvili, and is interested in cooperating. Ivanishvili named majoritarian candidates in Kvemo Kartli. In Tetrinitskado, it's going to be represented the Social Democratic Party Mamuka Abuladze and Salka Akaki Meltoniani. From the party Industry Will Save Georgia, and Gardabani, political expert Mamuka Arashidze in Bolnisi, member of the Georgian Dream, Dadajan Chiketiani in Rustavi, conservatives via Zizikuri in Dumanisi, Pata Kizinashvili. Why is Zizikuri in Rustavi? Why wouldn't he be in Santredia? I don't know. Maybe somebody else is supposed to be there. But you know, there's still nobody in Tbilisi. I wish they'd name the Tbilisi MPs, you know.
But they also need, I mean, there's, I think, are there any Republican candidates so far? Are there any people from Alazania other than he will run in Kutaisi probably? Not in Kutaisi, in Zugdidi.
I don't know. I have no idea. I've heard the rumors about the Otsneba candidates in Tbilisi are that there'll be a lot of Republicans, but who knows.
But I mean, you know, right now we see a lot of Ivanishvili's kind of friends and acquaintances getting these nominations, but then some kind of.
What do you mean friends and acquaintances? Like who? These are all sort of kind of politicians. Like what friends and acquaintances?
Well, last week when he had the speech in Tsheta, I think there were two or three guys named that are his old acquaintances and.
Well, what somebody ought to do is set up a wiki with all of these majoritarian candidates
who they are,
and to who they are and what's going on here.
Because they will have to, you know, if they're voted on, voted in parliament, then they need to pass policies. They need to be, you know, people who are up to the job to really, discuss what has to happen.
Coming back to the question of competence.
Exactly. Media.de reports that a crew from Real TV and some people wearing T-shirts of an organization called KKinfo.net are stalking TV9 journalists, continually asking them questions about Bidzina paying them. Supposedly, the stalkers are hampering their work by verbally and sometimes physically assaulting them. The Kakheti Information Center found out one of the stalkers in Kakheti is an employee of the UNM. The hardest working NGO in Georgia, Transparency International Georgia, states that its report on hospital sector research that the regional system of healthcare insurance restricts competition. Quote, construction operation of hospitals was imposed on insurance companies despite the fact that this is not a profitable business for them. In order to compensate for such unprofitable assets, the old voucher-based system of social insurance was abolished and insurance companies were allowed to become more monopolistic providers in different parts of the country. There's an interesting map listing which insurance was given in which part of the country that's floating around on Facebook. Starting next week, the government plans to train 3,000 people as registrars, or as they will be called, employment agents, who will then visit households across the country to register unemployed citizens. That's kind of weird, like employing 3,000 people to register unemployed people.
Yeah.
It's a good start.
Usually people register as unemployed because they get benefits, right? That's how you get people to self-register and maintain that, but what is the purpose of registering, you know, subsistence farmers? I mean, I don't know, like, what opportunities can you offer them?
And even in houses, I mean, if there's somebody, if there's a 50-year-old woman who lives at home and takes care of some kids deals with domestic stuff, is she unemployed or not? And I mean, obviously that's a statistical question, but how she feels about that may be quite different than how she is reported statistically. And what is whatever kid that shows up and asks her about that going to do about that? Will she or will she not work? Can she or can she not work? And who cares?
There's very interesting and more specific data that was done in this recent NDI survey by CRRC that looks at questions like that. So it's 69% of the population considers themselves to be unemployed, but they break that down into, you know, are people kind of home stay-at-home moms, whatever, homemakers, or are they actively looking for a job? Are they a pensioner and looking for a job? So it's actually that you can get very specific information in this recent recent survey. So if you go on civil.ge, you can get the link for the NDI data. But I think also what it is, the most important issue that is constantly coming up is jobs and unemployment. And so this is, the government has created, you know, the new Ministry of Employment, and then they want to be seen to be doing something about it. And this is very, you know, people are going to your house and kind of talking to you. I mean, this is just kind of a great move on their part.
Campaigning.
Yeah, I mean, to be
really
seen
what
to
it's
be
doing is campaigning. I mean, if the state employs 3,000 people that are, you know, what are they? Employment officers or whatever, you know, that go around and say, you don't have a job. How do you feel about that? Oh, well, we're working on something. We've got big plans.
What are your skills and what are you interested in doing kind of thing?
Yeah.
And, like, what can we provide to you? I think they're doing some retraining thing or something as well.
Campaigning.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, in that, there's also a lot of stories emerging from different ministries and government agencies that staffers are asked to sign up several friends and acquaintances that are known as, you know, UNM supporters. And so they have to hand in these lists to their superiors, and then these lists are forwarded to the UNM, apparently. And then the party, you know, checks if these people are really supporters, goes there, talks to them. And these are potentially, you know, used before the elections to kind of motivate people to come and vote on election day and all that, to have a better sense of what's going on in the apartment building.
And that's not new. That's definitely not new. That's been happening
every
election.
Yeah, so if anybody hears about that, we'd be interested in it. TBLPOD@gmail.com. Let us know if you know of anybody with whom that's happened, because there's certainly been a lot of reports about it. Commercent.ge reports that since former Prime Minister Nika Gelawati became head of the partnership fund, some changes have been made there. From now on, 100% of the shares state-owned companies are transferred from partnership fund, including Oil and Gas Corporation, Electricity System Commercial Operator, ESCO, Georgian State Electric System, GSE, and Telasi will be transferred to the Energy Ministry for Management. However, shares, dividend distribution, and other responsibilities will remain under the authority of partnership fund. Chinese government will allocate $9.5 million to support development of Georgia's agriculture. That's interesting. Anybody has any idea what exactly it's going to do, where the money's going, who's doing what with it? Anybody finds that out, let us know. According to the National Bank of Georgia, the state must pay about $400 million in public debt repayments by the end of this calendar year.
That should be doable, I think. I mean, Georgia has gotten fairly good conditions in the last attempts to raise money, I think. I think they're, you know, people are worried about the Eurozone countries and they're probably more inclined to invest into some, you know, smaller countries with high economic growth like Georgia that have their finances more or less together.
Right. Which Georgia does, certainly compared to a lot of peripheral Europe, the pigs. Well, actually all of Europe practically.
Except Sweden. And Norway.
Norway. Some of Finland's doing all right. That's all right. Yeah, the Northerners are okay. NetGazette.ge reports on the case of a 16-year-old girl who spent a night in the police station because she was not a virgin on her wedding night. She's taken there by relatives of her husband after the wedding because the groom claimed that she was not a virgin. Police of the village somewhere in Ajada, instead of detaining her husband for sexual harassment, detained the girl and transported her to the police station in Kovaletti, where she was kept until she, quote, confessed. They did not let her see her mother during the interrogation. As the girl recalls, policemen were shouting at her and were very rude. Relatives of her husband almost killed the girl. The case caused Facebook outrage. Feminist groups are planning protest rallies and are calling for sexual education in schools. You remember we discussed last week that there was a church meeting which concluded that the new ID cards and the chips they have are not, in fact, instruments of Satan. Well, the church has also made a decision, once again, that it is unacceptable for priests to attend political protests.
Yeah, about the ID card. So I had a look recently at this website called my.gov.ge. So if you have these new ID cards and the card reader, then you can log into this website and you can do a lot of things there, re-register yourself, check which government agency, looks at your data, what data is stored.
With Satan.
Almost. I think with different ministry operators, you can chat actually on this website. But it's really cool. I mean, it's e-government that I haven't seen in many other countries before, and then they're still extending it, and it's, yeah.
Take a spin around that. It's my.gov.ge.
But you basically need this card to really see and log in and find out what you can do there.
Well, with some satanic Georgian friend of yours that actually has one of these cards, you know, check it out and let us know what you think. Speaking of priests, Bishop Spiridon Abuladze preached, and this is a bishop, preached at some Ibba Cathedral about gay pride, calling it shameful and sinful. He spoke out against Westerners calling for gay rights reform, saying, quote, "Some want to occupy our territories and some want to spoil our values, and this is just the worst."
Are you an occupier?
End quote. Absolutely. I want to, yes, occupy and spoil values. That's our goal here at Tabeel Pot. That's our new tagline. Let's spoil some values.
It's just such a non-issue here. I'm just amazed that people are, you know, so latching onto it.
Oh, I don't. You know, bishops, man. I mean, come on. You know,
sexually frustrated.
Exactly. Well, no, not so. I mean, that, no, those are the Catholics. That's, you know, in Ireland and, you know, America and everywhere else. Here, they seem to be doing okay and have other things to worry about.
But I feel like when you talk about these types of social issues, you have both sides of the conversation usually. You have the proponents and then you have the opponents. All you hear is the opponents here. The opponents are the ones that are making it a topic of conversation, which I just think is really fascinating.
Right. And then, yeah, and then the proponents just laugh hysterically and post stuff they say on Facebook and put little likes and be like, oh my God, can you believe these guys? Beyond Tbilisi reports that Zugdidi municipality will finance 170 people Vulkernoba, a religious festival party, with 17,000 lari because of a request from Bishop Gerasime's request.
There's a new campaign out there with YouTube videos showing Bidzina in a not very favorable context. So it's kind of a, you know, dirty campaigning effort that was just launched on YouTube a few hours ago, or yesterday, I think, by a user called Georgia Not For Sale. And this is also a new entity that was registered in Georgia a couple days ago, so you'll hear it here first. There's a new NGO, campaigning NGO out there called Georgia Not For Sale. It's run and directed by Giga Nazaritze, who, according to the public broadcaster, is still on their board. I don't know if he has resigned or not. I couldn't really find much about that. But I'm, you know, looking forward to see the Chamber of Control, or the State Audit Office, as it is called now, taking also a look at this campaign group, because...
Yeah, that would be good. Because, I mean, certainly what we need is a lot more YouTube videos floating around.
Well, I think they might also jump to national television very soon.
Oh.
I mean, that's. I think the YouTube is the side product.
It's like, look, we've got all this capacity to manufacture videos and, you know, stick them on YouTube. We may as well, you know, broadcast them since we control that.
And Rustavi, too, might find something on, you know, YouTube that they have to report about.
What do you know? Oh, there's a... Yeah. Oh, God.
It's like CNN would do the same thing.
Right. Oh, that's so shocking. Okay, Tbilisi City Hall has launched a new website, Chemi Tbilisi, which means My Tbilisi, where people can post initiatives and collect signatures in order to petition the City Hall to do something. Sort of like the Obama administration setup that they have, that if you can collect a certain number of signatures in a certain number of time, they'll give you an official response.
Yeah, but I think it's a very well-designed website, and it's, I think, the first time that the government really makes an effort to, you know, encourage citizens to, you know, launch any initiatives and propose ideas of how the government could do things better or differently. Of course, we don't know yet how the local government will follow up on these, but, I mean, the step that they do it and do it in a, you know, well-designed way and appealing way, I think, is a good one.
Except absolutely. You can really set yourself up for a fall, because there's going to be high expectations. I mean, if you're sitting there putting in information and collecting signatures and then all of a sudden something doesn't get done,
right.
I mean, how much angry are you going to be than if you didn't do anything and nothing got done?
Right. If you get 30,000 people to sign a petition to stop cutting trees all across the city...
Right.
You know, like, what's going to happen then?
Right.
A lot of the trees are gone already, so maybe not much, but...
Yeah.
I heard a very funny rumor. Actually, I don't know if you guys had heard this, is that the reason that so many of the trees are getting cut down is that Misha has allergies. But then I was like, aren't they a lot of them getting replaced? So, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Somebody needs to find out which trees he does and does not have allergies to.
Yeah. But they have said that before, that they're cutting especially one kind that is, you know, very highly allergenic, and a lot of people have reactions to them. So that
right.
they target...
With air quotes, a lot of people have allergies to. Very interesting. The new City Hall has been putting up some new bus stops right outside of our studio. For example, on Rustavelli, there's a new terminal where you can buy bus tickets.
Yes.
RIA Novosti reports that the head of the investigation department of de facto general prosecutor's office of separatist authorities of South Ossetia, Roland Chitayev, who was kidnapped, was found dead in one of the deserted villages in Skhinvali that had been ethnically cleansed. Two suspects are detained.
Yeah, they got a confession out of one of them, but they didn't get a reason for doing it. And the guy was found shot in the heart and the head.
Wow. That's rough. I mean, a confession like, can you stop beating me up confession, or...
It was a short article, but it was they've confessed to doing it, but not why. Ooh. I was like, that's interesting.
Tomorrow night, Friday, at 8 p.m. at Colga, Dom Kino, across from Rustavelli Metro, is My Week with Marilyn. Very good movie. On Monday, the 16th, also at 8 p.m. At Colga, is Moneyball, a fantastic movie and a very interesting concept. I'd encourage everybody to go see it. Great book by Michael Lewis as well. And on Wednesday, the 18th of July, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, the American version, will be shown same spot, 8 o'clock.
Good news for all iTunes users is that BillPod is now. I tried it and used it, and now the iPod, iPod and iTunes version of BillPod is now up and functioning.
Oh,
again.
Fantastic! Yeah, we had a lot of problems with that. Sorry it took so long. I hope we're organized in that regard. If you have any problems with that, let us know. For all of you old iTunes listeners, please. Please help us out and report back. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com. Post to our forum on our website, which is tbilpod.com. When in a disagreement, step up and always be sure you are not being an egotistical pill. This is Higher Ground by Stevie Wonder, 1973.